Welcome to the Quintessential Listening Poetry Online Radio and YouTube Podcast, streamed live from the heart of Washington, D.C. Here, you'll find a portal to vibrant voices, echoing souls, and an ongoing celebration of the extraordinary power of language. So, prepare yourself to join host Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram and his special guests as they explore traditional and spoken word forms of poetry.
My special guest is John Patrick Robbins. He is a noted author, poet, and short story writer. He is also the editor-in-chief of 10 magazines, including Rye Whiskey Review. The title of his newest poetry book, Are We Dead Yet?, reached number one on Amazon's list of poetry books. Hello, John. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Michael. How are you? That's a great introduction, by the way.
I can tell you it goes super good stuff.
Wow. All right. You know,
what can I say? We always have a blast. Oh, no, man. I love being on the show. I do. We always have a good rapport. We always have a good time. What can I say? And it's always fun, though, you know?
Yes.
I'm always amped to be here.
You're always welcome. You've written a new book that reached number one on Amazon's list of poetry books. Are We Dead Yet? I'd like to know about the title and what inspired the book.
I had the title first. It was one of those things that I'm just a title person. I will sit down and write title left and right. And I absolutely love the title because it's like tongue-in-cheek. You know, kids always riding in the backseat or say, hey, are we there yet? My work is kind of morbid and dark and sarcastic. It's a tongue-in-cheek thing, but it kind of went hand in hand with my work. And then I had the cover. I had the cover for about, I think it was well over a year before there was actually a book. That's for me. It starts title, cover. And then I kept thinking I was going through a lot of things at the time, a lot of really bad things in my life. And then I had done a book with my good buddy at Whiskey City Press, Kevin Hitchman. I always mess up his name. He's like, wow, thanks, John. I was coming off there, masking up and really doing heavier work, and then this book came about.
Now, in this particular book, talk some more about some of the predominant themes. What are we going to read?
Darkness. It was homage to Poe, Blake, a market debt in particular that I don't see people exploring much. You can see the influences of Bukowski everywhere, left and right, Barlow and Poe, ones that I myself have done way too many of. But I wanted to do something completely different. Self-empowerment, but a lot of dark, heavy subject matter. Once I always had, I just embraced it more with this.
Now, I know that you charted on the Gothic chart.
Yeah, Gothic fiction.
Why do you think someone viewed your work as being gothic?
Well, I didn't want to tell people, but I made a special deal with a really nice person.
All right.
I had to sign a heck of a contract. Now, how do you land there? I think that had to do somewhat with the cover, possibly with the work. There was a bit in there. Of course, there is gothic fiction in there and noir type. Just my usual, if people know my work, there is my usual work, but it is vastly different. But as far as how it landed on the chart, I'm surprised I charted it all. So.
Tell me about the cover.
For me, it always starts with the cover. So I wanted something that struck you. It's beautiful, but it's very dark. And so that's what catches the eye.
How did you select the poems in the book?
It's always like a rhythm for me. It's like music. It's like it's no different if you were putting together a mixed CD or album, you kind of are a DJ or whatever. You want to get a vibe, and I was going to make the darkest, heaviest book I could, which was the polar opposite of everything I was doing. So, yeah, if you're looking for that old style, there's plenty of people who do that in the bar and stuff. It's there. a good friend of mine, Susan Tepper, said it was like taking the work down to ground zero, kind of like destroying everything I did and just completely taking it down to just stripping it down and creating something completely different.
As you think about your book, are you hoping the book resonates with a broad range of readers, or were you attempting to target a specific audience?
Ultimately, you do hope that they connect. I really want it to target a way bigger audience. For the people who wanted something darker, that had, there was just a big gap. So to me, there is. There's a lot of people who I see writing. They're kind of doing the conventional styles, and that's great because I've tried it. I'm not too good at it. But I wanted to do something completely different and try a different market. To me, there's a bigger market in people who are not reading poetry than people who are. And I don't mean that bad, but it's kind of the truth.
Yes, I understand. My friend, what do you think you learned about yourself writing this book?
What I learned in myself, in this book in particular, I guess for the fact that it did well, is I don't have to entertain. I didn't have to. Yes, I have the humor and I can do that and I can be over the top with humor, but I didn't have to. Once was not like a very comfortable place for me, because I joke. Also, it's a mechanism for coping with things as well. So yeah, it was very different.
Now it's time for John Patrick Robbins.
This first one's called Bloodlust to Go-Go. Whatever happened to all the funny, pretty little poems about trivial things, misspelled as they were misguided? Where is a clown whose grease paint masked a demon underneath? A forked tongue led you in, just as quickly so the door was locked behind you. Let us burn together. I desire your agony to quench my thirst. We were never equals, so never entertain that delusion. The clock's promise and the witching hour's delight. The veils are thin between worlds, and the devil's dance is a promise. I will gladly dunk your head within the flames to allow you the burden of my truth. Tears won't expel burning flesh, but weep as you must. The tale began as a day's dream that faded into a nightmare. I laugh last always, even at your expense. This next one's called Tour Guidance. Sometimes when I am alone, I escape and allow my truths to run free. I often find myself viewing you as a stranger now, as I am but an exile from your heart. The moon over the water is cleansing, as it is painful to embrace alone. There are times when I wish only to know the love of another, yet within the knowledge of my darkened soul, I know this is a hope I must abandon. The sting of a moment's pain and the flight within the thick. No demons may trouble me, as no angels may provide comfort either. It's in the emptiness of poison's truth and my own personal hate. Sometimes we have to provide our own escape. I am happily buried alive. That's the end of that one. I love how I have to do that at the end of that one. All right. This next one is one that's a new one, actually, not even in the book. And it's called Pine Float. Maybe I will call you when I get better. And I need something other than a bottle to satisfy my needs. And maybe I will pour out that personality, believe I truly care. We all need something, as to create, I need to be left alone. So now that we shared a not-so-memorable encounter, the door is that way. See yourself out. This space in my chest was vacant from the start. My thoughts are solely my own. As the words are to be read, as never was I, my darling. Truth's cold as a January snowstorm, tortured. Souls aren't always in need of a savior. There is no good upon this goodbye. And that is the end of that one.
John, if you could tell your younger writing self anything, what would you say? Your younger writing self.
a younger writing folk, be prepared. It's going to be a rough ride. And get a new hobby. Become an accountant. Or a bartender.
But these young people tuning in, my friend, are like, wow, here he is a legend, and he's saying, become a bartender instead of a poet?
Aren't most bartenders poets anyway? They see everything. You know, the best bartender is a great storyteller because he keeps you at your feet. I was kind of like, I was a bouncer. I was kind of like the guy who stood. I'm really good at standing against the wall and staring at people. Next one is dedicated to a great friend of mine, Kristen English. And I thought it was weird because it's like the title of the poem is just another Christian poem, a Kristen poem. I thought, man, it would have been great if she had changed her name to Kristen because it would have sounded really catchy. But I think she should have done that for art. Anyway, this one's for her. And it's just another Kristen poem. I believe it is better to guess than ever being wrapped in a disappointment's truth. I know you in the best possible sense and never truly knowing you at all. A laugh shared from a distance, a delusion cast embrace. You know only my words, as that is the best of me. Blonde hair of the bluest eyes deception. You're that encounter of to which I can only imagine. To never indulge, it's to never disappoint. I whisper no rumor, only the splendor of what is only my imagination's vision. I embrace you here eternal in the purity of the page. The greatest gift I can ever give is to maintain that delusion of never having a glimpse behind the curtain. And into that one. And now it's time to, folks, it's time to give something I like to call humor. This is a naughty one. This is why I get a disclaimer on my episodes, because I'm special. Yes.
Only one.
I know, but
parental advisory sticker.
I know you learned. I like to get naughty. What can I say? I expect my thanking afterward. Anyway.
So buckle up, everybody.
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, on that note, I'm going to give you just a deep literary one. In fact, we're going to go real deep. I don't know why this got rejected by the New Yorker. And this is a fine little ditty. If you know it, just sing along. It's called A Bitch in a Box. Bitch in a Box is what I called a former acquaintance as I attended her funeral, to which another so-called friend looked to me shocked, saying, how would you like if someone said that about you at your funeral, dude? Well, that's absurd. I mean, I'm going to be cremated, so I'm going to be more like a dick in a can. My friend looked at me baffled at my logic and the fact I could be cracking jokes so utterly cold in this situation. If you cared so little about Sarah, why the hell did you decide to even attend her funeral to begin with? I paused for a while, looking off into the distance as I lit a cigarette. Well, honestly, I figured if I went to hit the after party, I figured I would at least put on a shit front and appear like I gave a crap. I replied, taking a long drag, as my friend just shook her head. It's a wake, not a fucking after party, you prick. God, I can't imagine how you will feel when I pass. I mean, didn't it sting just a little? I mean, you and Sarah used to date, after all. Yeah, and she was about as lively in bed as she is now in that box. But at least now she has a far better personality, being she doesn't talk. Damn, I'm feeling kind of horny. Want to go behind the tombstones? She never replied to my question. I guess it was a bit harsh. It seems I lost two friends that day. Nostrovia. I should write for Hallmark.
You should.
Okay, kids.
You should.
I'll be nice for 2 seconds. This is our little one called Misty Mornings. We'll meet when we can, often in secret, never in shame. Spent memories of a moment's rewind. Darkness holds you far better than I ever truly will. It's the glimpse behind the iron curtain's facade. I cannot allow others to know. We over time develop our borders to avoid past mistakes, crippling our future's promise, despite our emotions. I will never promise you anything, only share a tenderness, and those moments alone, passions, as neither will it ever mark an occasion. I will meet you when I am broken, yet never in need of some emotional fix. It's in privacy, never in shame. You are eternally welcome. I share my darkness and nothing more. And then that one. And that's what I like about me. I can switch the gears. It's like, wow. Anyway, everybody's like, man, John, you really are getting strange. All right, Beavis and Ditties. I'm reading a lot of them that weren't even in the book, but I'm going to read one that didn't make the cut, but I really liked. And it's called A Cinematic Cemetery Scene. It is said that Edgar Allan Poe once proposed to a woman in a cemetery. And upon hearing this, I thought to myself, what better a place to ask the ultimate question? For love is always upon the verge of death from its very inception. A candle's delicate flame dancing upon a gentle yet intuitive breeze. I hold no hope within my heart, as there is nothing left of my vacant soul, but an empty room and a clock that eagerly counts down my demise. Edgar was a poetic tragedy, often overlooked in the conversation of pretentious fools who gather at the grave of the slob called Bukowski, never understanding. To stand at the resting place of a true writer makes you an admirer to something you most certainly never will be. The stone's garden's flowers are many, as you can count amongst them the broken dreamers now laid to rest. I yearn only to join them. Check out time is upon us, the departure evident. Love is best left buried, with no questions whispered upon the winds. Farewell, my truest love, the page, the bottle, and a black rose of memory. At the end of that one. Here's one from the book. It's a particular favorite of mine. It's a serious one, and it's a real life one, of course. It's called Reflecting on What Was Never Meant to Be. And so in the morning, I knew it was over. Looking out upon such a perfect day, the dreams had escaped me, my hopes had disintegrated. A love once new was dead, and I would soon begin to decay. People are moments to me and nothing more. I once shared my life, but I believed it to be a prison, as now I know my ignorance. Yet our choices are final, as mine are turning fatal. I know there are no more chances for someone as lost as myself. Distance is my only option, and I am sorry, my friends. This must be a farewell. Every story must end, and a lamp's light must expel. It's not the ending I would have chosen to pen, but with life, the ocean's currents are strong. I won't be returning to out that window to see a world born anew, knowing full well I was done from the start. My dear, you had the last of whatever was left of me. Was it a waste? I cannot truly say. But love's a wine, sweet, and its deception's promise. Hope is truly the worst drug of them all. I will be far from the last bad fool to fade away into a depressed storybook ending. I am just a character. I was never built to endure more than a Cliff Notes promise. That last step's a real doozy, so they say. That's the end of that one.
I said earlier that I felt that the first set of poems were heavy.
Mm-hmm.
They're more than just heavy. They're well-written. They're authentic. You share your lived experience in a way that draws people in. That always fascinates me when I listen to your work.
No.
You are a consummate thinker. Because the way that you were able to craft words, that takes skill. I can tell you didn't throw things together in a willy-nilly fashion.
Yeah. It's a craft, and you always got to improve. I'm never great at anything. I'm always trying to improve. And I do think that I am, and I always want to. I never want to think I'm the best at anything. But, you know, the next stage from life is rock, and it's not about ego with me. It's about creating the best art. That's what I want to do. You know, I don't really care if people mold me. I want them to know my work.
How do you choose words?
Well, believe it or not, I do have a big vocabulary. Sometimes you wouldn't know it when you're just talking to me, but I love words. I always have and always will. That was always my thing. I love language and I love words. So I tried to be, at times, like it used to be, I just didn't care. As long as I got the message across and if I made people laugh, it was great. And this is great. Laughter is great medicine.
Yes, it is.
But I just wanted to craft. I've gotten more into wanting to craft just more better lines, the best lines I can. And I don't know if they're the best, but they're certainly vastly improved from if you go from my first book, you have my condolences, to this one.
We've got a caller. Area code 832. The first three numbers are 802. You're on the air with John. Good evening.
It's a mysterious caller who you never have heard before.
Okay.
This mysterious caller would like to know, so why is there like less Scott Simmons in this book than the other ones you've had, John? Yeah, I think there needs to be more.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it adds a certain tone to it. Also, I think a unicorn would have been scary.
Yeah, the unicorn ride just didn't make it. I mean, it is scary, almost as scary as thinking Justin Bieber's going to make another album. No, I don't know why there was not as much Scott Simmons, but I always say Scott Simmons is like Rattlesnake Venom. You only need a little bit to get you. And it really was so minute that it really got you because like I think he was the formatter. And I said, that's enough. And I didn't, he got the formatting credit. We don't pay him because he enjoys. It's a learning experience. It really is. He's paying his dues.
Is this Scott Simmons on the line?
Oh, look,
hello, Scott.
But
it's always good to hear your voice. Do you have a question for John Patrick Robbins?
Yeah, out of the book, right? Yeah. Title was your favorite, either a dead serious one or the most funny one to you.
I love that you do that. I like some of the titles because they were just like metal. Like, oh, wow, that's such a deep answer, John. I did like Surgical Steel, Fine Dining at the Rue Morgue, because that was a great homage, and that just sounds just completely wrong.
Okay.
So, yeah, that would be one of mine. Yes. Thank you, Scott. That's such a wonderful question.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you, Scott. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? But are we dead? Now it's time for John Patrick Robbins.
Wow, is somebody up past your bedtimes?
I'm old, John. I'm old.
You look far younger than me.
This may be the first and last. It's late night. Where's the poetry online radio program? All right.
Okay.
Please share some more of your work.
Okay. Michael, I thought a long time ago, because I've been on this show through, I went through relationships and everything on this show. This show is great. It's almost like therapy. Every time I go on, I think, man, what is Michael doing to me? I was normal before I came on here. I really look.
It's true. Do you remember that time when I asked you all those pointed questions that you could not answer?
Oh, yeah. That's when I spent a couple hours in the complimentary pre-bar. This is a special one I wrote just for your show.
Oh.
And okay. It's a classy one. You're going to like it. It's called Le Trout Dismount. All right. It was a mostly satisfying night. As with any evening's close, when sex is part of the equation, I consider it a success, even if upon a modest level. And as the drink flowed and the climaxes did approach, we enjoyed that shared silence's bliss together. As with a simple embrace, I decided to dismount from this little soiree's main attraction. As in a moment of miscommunication, my horizontal dance partner swung her knee, connecting directly between my eyes. As soon, the stars were out, even within the confines of this ever-so-dingy room. As I had to think, to all the injuries I had incurred from the past scuffles, never did I believe I would incur a concussion from a simple one-night stand, which is why I had to write yet a story and cast a lie to attempt to bury the truth. I realized that maybe I'm just too fucking old, or maybe a tad bit too fragile for this game anymore. But of course, maybe I should just stop messing around with women's soccer players. But I've always thought of myself as a quasi-jock supporter. Then again, I'm either too drunk or a tad bit too concussed. Remember, kids, always use protection. Next time, I'm wearing a crash helmet and packing a firearm. If you fall off the bike, remember, you're a rider, accidents happen, and you're a natural at pedaling your ass. Wee wee, my darling. Ciao. Okay, this is one called I'm on Emotional Hiatus. I have no desire to share a moment, let alone my life. I have this page. It comforts me in not asking anything more than the blood of my soul. I've made my sacrifice and I need nothing in return. Call it pathetic and call me cold. I've had happiness and owe no explanation. There's no love left within, but there are certainly enough demons to keep me warm. Flesh is useful, but I'm always happiest whenever I'm alone. A woman is an extravagance, a rented indulgence cherished in the fireside illumination and held within memory, as empty arms mean the lack of the burden of maintaining a continual facade. I will never be anything more than a good time and ultimately a letdown if put further. An empty conversation, a shared drink, and a fond embrace cast in the early morning farewell. Truth is never easy, as neither is life. The page will be my only passion to remain an epitaph of my desire-spent delusion. And so now, we must part. It's the end of that one. Wow, he goes from serious to crazy to what in the hell is wrong with him?
Actually, that's my question. I want to know, how difficult is it for the funny side and this other side to coexist inside you?
Yeah, we all have different sides. Sometimes it's difficult in doing the book sometimes because, especially with this one, because there was a lot of deep, and then there's way heavier things. There's things that can be misconstrued. And sometimes the humor is very useful, and it's almost like a crutch. I fall back on it. And with this book, I took that away, and I forced myself to rely more on the seriousness of my work and heaviness than, okay, here comes a joke. It's not like a set pattern. That's what was good about Scott Simmons, to look at a book, and he doesn't just, it's not just copy and paste editing. It's, hey, man, I think you're kind of falling back on that. Let's double down on this, and let's make it uncomfortable. And sometimes he drives you crazy, but he's really good at it, getting the book out of the writer.
Yes, that's great.
So he is good at that job. Yeah, I'll bet answer that question.
Well, I think I'd like you to tell me about a poem you were proud of writing, but afraid to share for fear of misinterpretation.
Well, with this book, there was a lot of them. Because some things are metaphoric, it's a gothic thing. It doesn't mean because I put the word demon in there, I'm like going around in the middle of the woods with like secret groups and everything. It's like, I didn't want that. I just wanted a dark heaviness, and I didn't want to explain it in the book by Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes.
You know, and it's art is to look at, not to criticize. Mm. That was the thing. You know, I wanted to put out stuff that was just completely different. There's humor in there, but it's, you know, it's very different. You can call it flash fiction if you want. Confessions from Dragon's Lair. That's one that's extremely heavy. I guess I could read that one. It's the Confessions from the Dragon's Lair. I danced upon the razor's edge in those early days. The place was insignificant. It was nothing more than a location for people to shoot up and ultimately die. Every vice was traded here, in the dim light's brilliance, the smoke that lingered. It was a tomb of sins shared and new vices discovered. Bruce had his poison, and I yearned for my own. The flesh has always been my chosen demon. And she was there, as so very much was I. She was an escape. Death's promise wasn't enough to discourage. The conversation was negotiation only, an exchange of funds, for a promise of exchange fluids. We all chase something that is a reminder of our life's true fragility. taking pleasures out upon a kitchen table, a one-time encounter as her husband slept oblivious to his lover's deception. I've always loved that which is deemed forbidden. A junkie to keep watch over the door, one gun in a room of many, but the willingness to pull the trigger separated us all. I sometimes think of those nights spent chasing death, testing the limits of life's true fragile coil. I think of her as something more than a moment's release. They all exist amongst the demons of memory and the angels of darkest torment. We spoke of another chance encounter. I remember the catacombs fondly, where others deem themselves lucky to have escaped. I know the depths of humanity's darkest water. I reflect them not as the envisioned sewer's damnation, or even the personal hells of endless torment. There is beauty, as once in the darkest torment of shared bliss. And that's the end of that one. So, yeah.
It is, Tebby. What do you think your poetry reveals about being human?
You know, you don't have to be labeled something. I definitely lived a colorful life. And, you know, whatever people want to put you in, you don't have to be there. You kind of create your own narrative or whatever, however you would like to say it. But, you know, freedom. With my words about.
When you're writing, how do you know when a poem is done, my friend?
You know, that is a good question. I just kind of let it go. I go with it. You know, like when I read Kerouac and how he would just go with, just let, instead of fighting it, I just let it take me wherever it goes. And then after I'm done, where I think is the end, I'll read through it a couple times and think, hey, maybe I can cut this, maybe I can not. You know, I think you have to self-edit a lot. But then again, I also just let myself go with it. It's like going with the ocean. You know, you fight the oceans like a riptide.
Right.
You're just going to get pulled out further and further. You have to go with things instead of fighting that and saying, no, this is too. I mean, there's a lot of things that are really harsh, like the one I just read. I mean, it's ugly in some senses, and other senses it's not. It's all how you want to perceive it, really.
So are you saying that a poem tells you what it wants to be?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, life writes the poem, really.
All right, very nice. They talk about poetry being like a canvas that you can paint a picture on it, any picture. Do you believe it? Poetry is like a canvas.
It's like painting. It's like music. It is a canvas, yeah. Very much a canvas. Completely agree with that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Please continue. You've got some more poems for us. All right.
Okay. This next one is called Dark Rose Jubilee. Take me home and simply take me to bed. Don't waste a second, so he won't be left with the false hopes to reflect upon what I never truly said. I have nothing and you have even less, but the journey is fun no matter the inevitable destination. Break me as I will surely do the same to you. The tide's always changing along with our moods. Surmise the damage and the storms past to somehow attempt to fill in the cracks. Does it not factor in too within this equation? Reap the rewards, non-existent, and collect a memory upon a one-night span. False hopes are washed clean by a mix of pills and drinks. Spilt liquor and paid tabs across this landscape, I scarcely recall what assorted lies pawned as solid truths through the delusion of a not-so-good time. Take me away to something that resembles something other in this perpetual decay. Take me within to abandon this facade. Beat me at my own damn game in the darkness. Whisper, was it forgettable for you as well? That's the end of that one.
Hey, this is a little ditty that I'm sure will tick people off, but that's fine. I'm used to being the bad one in the group. Anyway, this is She Had a Face for Radio. And a voice that belonged in silent pictures that nobody in their right mind ever desired to watch. She was there, and that's about it. But she could really bob for apples when all hope seemed lost. And being it only cost me a few happy meals and my pretending to care, I believe it was a fair trade. It was all grand until she chipped her tooth, and then it was like a bit like getting oral from a rototiller. oh, well, nothing lasts forever, so they say. Wow, such an intellectual, right?
Oh, God.
As I laugh at my own jokes.
All right, sir.
Okay, let's go to... The rain falls mainly. I wait every morning for that escape into my sleeping world's embrace, happy to vanish from a life that is just that entitled only. Sometimes I question my choices, then realize it's all a crapshoot at best. The tin roof makes the best music in an off-the-coast storm's fury. It lends me its logic to regress further into this strange being who merely waits to die. I will never need flowers by my graveside. Nothing is required, only silence and memories held within. Others all destined for a sad ending, much like myself. We pen pages of depth, but the truth is we never get to pen the end. Life is to be cherished, death avoided as best you can. What's in between is our finest work. End of that one.
Wow.
So, if we go on to some of the more morbid ones in this little ditty, and people are like, God, John, really? I know. This is a little homage to pull himself, and it's a fine dining at the Rue Morgue. I still have my voice, yet even to those supposedly close to me, I cannot speak. I'm locked out of my own mind and trapped within my own personal hell. Violence can open many doors, including a prison cell or cemetery's gate. A cold slab, a jaded view. But we are all corpses in the not-so-distant future's making. Toe tag me in your memories. I was never truly here to begin with. End of that one.
Wow, I like that. I like all of them, but that one touched me differently. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Also, I said I would not do it. Let's interrupt.
I don't mind.
All right. What did you think make us different from other people?
The desire to do something that usually won't pay you even a nickel.
Well, that is true. That is true.
I don't know. No, I'm not picking on that or anything like that. You know, the humor is just how I deal with things.
Yeah, I know.
It's just in you. Because if you really want it, you'll do it. And it always has to come out somehow. That would be, I mean, it's like any art, really. Artists are all the same, really. They have to, you know, you've always been an artist. You know, it just always has to escape you somehow. And it'll get out, you know. Hopefully in a good way.
Yes.
We climb in a water tower or anything.
Right. Yeah. I agree 100%. Hopefully it's in a positive way.
Wow. Yes. So, yeah, that's the thing. All art, it will escape. It will get out. And then that's the thing about us. You know, we're all kind of nuts, but that's what I like about it.
We are four more points.
Okay, let's see. Why don't we go with the deep cut? Why not?
Okay.
All right. This is one called Do You Remember Me? I ask you reading these very lines, as I ask of myself equally in return. I paid the price to understand pain is the key ingredient to any art worth reading. I am alone as you, as friends, avoid this attic, forgetting underneath I am still here. Sometimes I want to just slice an artery so I don't have to feel anything. To wake to a fight, I will always lose. My body's bloated, my eyes sunken, my soul most certainly recedes. I cannot live like this, so I believe we know the solution. I owe the devil a dance. I owe you nothing in return. I would say I regret nothing, but the eyes betray my truths. That's why I always hid me to begin with. I'm over it, and for that I am sorry. The currents are as strong as my addiction. It's okay. I had just disappointed myself long before you. Please find my guest book below. And keep in mind, I would have appreciated your company far better when I was still breathing. End of that one. All right. No, so this is one I'm going to read right now. It's not in the book, but I decided to read a bunch of originals as well.
All right.
Called Dead Ends and Red Light Vacancies. I sat there looking out the window of a dingy rented room, the water just a stone's throw away. Winter's chill gently embraced the horizon. I watched the chaos of an ever-approaching sunset as the irritants of the night's existence crept from their shared tombs. From the whores worn to this life as myself, to the dope slingers clocking the hours in hopes to avoid the iron bar or the iron bar hotels and close stay. I closed the curtain in total peace, knowing there was far more honesty here than in some gated community's black tie affair. I slept that night like a baby in a room that had embraced the demise of many a hope. Lost are the children, invisible, and forgotten fools' logic, never understanding this could so easily be them as well. I thrive in a bleak black drop and wither in the throes of a false embrace. Emptiness is honest. The levers never are. There is a fate far worse than death. If ever you want to know its truth, simply knock upon my door. Just don't be offended if I do not answer. I share nothing, as now I seldom do with the page. And that is my ultimate sin. The night embraces all that somehow have lost their way. The end. This is called In Secret. I will exist to decay slowly amongst a seemingly my own kind. I hate because that is my passion, and a spark of rage beats an ember of mediocrity any day of the week. I do not envy anyone that pens words, for to write is not to live, it is to reflect. And I'd rather inspire than create. Get out a dingy window. This is my truth. Life will most certainly pass us all by eventually. I wish I had planned an escape route instead of an epitaph. End of that one.
Wow.
All right. This is one called Seduction in Darkness.
All right.
To embrace our truths and give to our darkest desires, it's to serve the nature of the beast, and men internally are animals by design. My dear, does the chaos excite you? The pleasures promise as you anticipate that it's burned. Seduction is within the eye, betrayal within the soul. Give in and leave the burden behind. Absence fairy illuminates the darkness. Green and light, darkness bleeds within the soul. Not all creatures are his for the taking. As the elite are chosen, taste the pleasures and abandon the hope. And embrace the decadence. The devil's always in the detail. My sweetest innocent, soon you will know that escape. Bound in darkness, there are no chains that burden, only unlimited pleasures promised. Trust, if only you dare. The end of that one.
Yeah. When I listen to you and you share your work, there's a fragility where in some parts you want to give up. But in other parts, there's a resolve to keep going and not give up.
Yin and yang.
Yes. The yin and yang effect. That's exactly what I feel when I hear you read your work.
Mm-hmm.
You want to give up, but you don't want to give up.
You know what you're saying? That's highly accurate. Well, you got to remember, if I give up, there's no promise of cocktails anywhere else. So.
Yes, that's true.
I don't know. But I don't, I do sometimes, but I ultimately love what I do. I complain about it all the time.
Right.
All of it. We get fed up with it, but it's better for me. This is cheaper than therapy, and it's better for me to vent upon a page than it is to hold it in and no. You just keep going because that's just what you do. I always keep on rolling.
Well,
till I roll no more.
Are we dead yet? My last question for you tonight before we both go. What key lesson would you want people to take away from your work, from this particular book?
Okay.
You know, we're far stronger than we give ourselves credit for. I'm not saying that don't look to higher powers or anything like that. I just think people need to look to themselves. Instead of placing the blame upon other people and other things, just look to yourself.
Yes.
Within, you know, there's a lot of strength. And yeah, you got to give yourself credit because everybody's going to beat you down. You have to believe in yourself. You know, and maybe that sounds hokey, I guess, but that's just what I think. And what, you know, there's a lot about empowerment, self-empowerment in the book. Really, if you look deeply, it's in there.
We have another caller.
No.
Yes, we do. Let's bring this person off. Eric, okay. 813. The first three numbers are 93. On the air with John. Hello.
Hello. I've been a fan for quite a minute, and I've noticed in your other books, like, there is a lot of humor with it. There's a lot of that whole overarching thing of being a jokester and all of that, along with all of the commentary. And in this particular book, like, there's more poignancy and more of darkness to it. And while it seems to relate, it also seems to be like a departure from a lot of the previous stuff. And are you going to be going more in that direction with future work?
Great question.
Right now, direction I'm going feels good and, you know, it connected, and I didn't expect it to. So it's not that I have to create more of the same, but I just like the way I'm going. If you think this book was dark, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, I love all your work. You're a very brilliant writer. And it's noticed the very dark commentary, and you touch on a lot of stuff that people don't want to talk about.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. I usually figure, hey, what's the most miserable subject matter of all time? There's a lot of them in there. Not like all miserable. There's some you've heard there, but yeah.
There were several laugh out loud moments, and I caught the thing that you said right before I was brought on, and I just really like that you encourage people to look to themselves and be self-empowered. Hey, anybody who's an artist or a writer, there's a lot of self-doubt and wondering if we're just all hacks, and seeing someone do the thing that you want to do and do it well, this gives a lot of hope that, you know, the rest of us can do it too.
Wow.
You know, Warren.
Yes.
You know.
Caller, you made me smile with that one, caller. That was a beautiful statement.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I've been on this show the most.
He's been here six times.
Oh.
He could almost be a co-host at this point.
Yes. Well, that's not good.
Let's not do that. I was going to say
something. I don't want to work. This takes another whole skill set.
That'd be the sidekick cracking.
Yeah, he'd be a good sidekick.
No. He's a good bartender, sidekick. He's in a lot of trouble.
All right.
I'm not the designated driver. Yeah, that's usually not my job.
Well, thank you, caller. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Very nice. Dollars.
Very, very nice. All right, John, we're going to close out.
Okay.
Where do you go from here with your writing?
You know, it's odd you say that because I am, I'll announce it here. So I guess it is a bit of a statement. I'm going on a bit of a hiatus. I am officially stepping down from the mags for a while, just for a while. And I'm going to work on and finish my novella that I've been working on. It's almost done, but I want to concentrate on that. And I want to prove that I can actually do it. And I like the word novella, and I want to actually have one out there.
Yes, all right.
It's a very nice word. It's very classy. Yes, and yes. I want to show people that I can be classy and trashy.
When you finish the novella, you're welcome back. You're welcome back before then. But you're really welcome back when you finish. All right?
I can't stay away. I lifted the restraining order so I could come back to you. So I'm very happy.
You know you're my buddy. You know you're my
friend. Oh, you're always a friend. I really appreciate it. And appreciate you having me on the show.
I wish you nothing but success as you continue to explore who you are in terms of your writings and allow these different sides of you to to explode. Everybody, as we know, won't like it. They want to keep you trapped in a box, but it's your box.
Keeping me trapped doesn't work. I'm too noisy.
This is, well, folks,
I'm a bit of a character.
Just a little bit. I want to thank you for freshening the first
late night show.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
The late, late show.
They never be enough. Yes, late at night.
I'll be back on again. You know me. Okay. I never go away. I'm always hanging out in the green room. It's like, who's that dude living in there? He doesn't have anywhere to live. That's where we'd be letting him live there.
I have to bring you on late at night.
R-rating. R-rated, but I'm worth it. I'm fun. I'm like a B-movie, but I'm a fun one. Does everybody remember that?
Thank you to the listening audience for tuning in. Take care.
Okay.
Still craving poetry? Hundreds of episodes of The Quintessential Listening, poetry, online, radio, and YouTube podcast are available to listen to or download on iTunes, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. To learn more about the popular podcast or how to become a guest, visit www.qlporyt.com. Till next time, take care and let poetry ring somewhere throughout the land.